Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby, and today I am joined by Trinity, who is the VP of Marketing over at User Gems. Admittedly, one of my favorite brands of all time. If you followed me for any length of time, you know that I have a massive crush on User Gems. So Trinity, thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Mason. Thank you for having me. I'm so flattered.
I literally posted, I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody when we're recording this, I posted a photo of my daughter wearing a User Gems onesie last night that says future champion. So yeah, I like User Gems is very near and dear to our heart as a family. And I remember when I like had this cool and novel idea, probably 3 years ago, I made a post about it on LinkedIn of like, it would just be such a cool idea to follow your past customers because they're already bought in on your product. And like, you could use that to break into new accounts. And then it was Karina Owens. She commented, it was like, yeah, that's called User Gems. And I was like, oh, that's a thing. That's awesome. Been a huge fan and excited to dig into a champion tracking playbook with you and really outlining one, what is champion tracking? Then two, like, how do you do it? So again, as we think about what this playbook is going to be called, it's all around tracking the existing users as they move to new companies. We're really focused in this playbook around pipeline generation. And then as far as some of the essential technology, obviously User Gems. If you want to do this in a really scrappy way, you could do it manually on LinkedIn and just following target accounts as they make job transitions. But admittedly, I've tried that. It's hard. It's possible. It's just hard. And I love User Gems for that reason because it makes it really easy. So with that, Trinity, can you go ahead and give us the high level overview of first, what is champion tracking?
Yeah, you did a phenomenal job of explaining it. It's pretty simple. It's intuitive. I think anyone can relate to this. You track your customers, users, champions, sometimes like friendly close loss prospects as they move on through their careers. And when they join like your target or ICP accounts in the next role, that's an easy hello, re-engagement, and trying to bring them back into the sales conversation, kind of bring them back into your circle. So the concept is really simple. I think the hard part is that we can get into in a little bit later on is like how to operationalize this across your team. If you're talking about, if you have a very small team, like sub 5-person sales team or SDR team, I think you could do it manually. But if you're thinking about like the entire revenue team, like what do you want to happen when a champion leaves? You want to flag the customer success to make sure there's no churn there. And then they join an ICP account, then how do you make sure that your BDR, FDRs act on that? If they join open up, how do you make sure that the AEs are aware? So that's the piece that the workflows part that make this play really interesting when you scale it up.
Yeah. And just as you look at a lot of the turnover that people experience, and not even necessarily turnover, but just I remember when I was working at Sales Assembly, we worked with User Gems and the average CRO makes a job transition every 18 to 22 months. So if you really think about same thing with CMOs, I think the average tenure is anywhere from now 15 to 18 months for the average CMO. So again, people that bring you in, that love working with you, that make a job transition, it's just such a great opportunity when you can really map it out. So I love the playbook. I'm excited to dig into some of the specifics of how you guys have done it because I think you guys are the best case study of how to use the tool and how to do champion tracking. So with that, I'd love to hear some of the high level, specifically as we dig into more of the pipeline generation side, like how is User Gems using User Gems?
Yeah, we call it internally UG for UG. So we start out, it's a pretty, like a very straightforward. So we track customers, so AKA anyone that was involved in a closed one opportunity, so closed one op contact. And then we also track the admins and the power users, essentially people who have like familiar with our product, had conversations with our CSM. So that's the customer's bucket. Then we track friendly prospects. So closed lost prospects after they pass a certain stage, because at that point, they, even though they didn't purchase then, they already went through the entire awareness consideration journey, right? So they're familiar with the product. They didn't buy maybe because of timing, budget, and whatnot, but it doesn't mean that we can't re-engage with them in the next company. So those are the two main buckets that we track for job changes. So whenever that happens, then the new contacts got created into CRM and then routed automatically into our outreach sequence. So we have six sequences for different scenarios and all of that's automated. And our ADRs only need to take care of the tasks that pop up in the outreach dashboard. And that's it. And that gets us a 24% response rate in these sequences. So that's how we started. Like, simple.
First of all, I love the breakdown of the two sides. So again, it's not just that you're tracking every contact within every organization of your customers, but who actually purchased it, and then who are the actual admins and users that would be likely to bring into the next organization. I love the segmentation on that front. And then additionally, on the opportunity side, like even if they were closed loss, but they've already become very brand aware. I actually think that I did that. I think that I, at a past organization with closed loss and user gyms, which was above my, pay grade on that decision. Right. And then I went to the next organization and helped bring in user gems. So I think I'm a case study on that front of how that's effective. And I also love the breakdown that you got six separate sequences. Can you break out for us, like, what are those different sequences that you guys are running?
Yeah. So the sequence is whether they were past customers, now they're joining an ICP account, director and above. So that's sequence one. And then past customer, ICP account, lower than director, like IC level, that's sequence two, right? And then the previous prospect. So you're going to draw out like a decision tree. And it's about like six sequences. The good thing is because we've been drinking our own champagne for 4 years doing this, running this play and helping a lot of companies implement it, that we have templates for all these sequences. So when someone, if someone decides to bring on user gems, then we automatically create these pre-built sequence templates in your sales loft or outreach environment for you. And then you just need to edit in your own value prop and messaging, but the sequence is already built for you.
Yeah. And I just Googled the user gyms playbook. So if you go to usergyms.com/playbooks, there's 14 playbooks that are already pre-built out from a content perspective. So again, I love that you guys have made the content very easily accessible. So that's the starting point. And then as we think about the next stage of content specifically, yes, there's obviously the outbound sequences, but are you guys pushing any specific content in those sequences that helps to re-engage those past customers? What are the content assets that you're generally pointing towards?
Absolutely. I want to be mindful of the podcast audience, right? So we want to talk about, like, how do we start something small first, crawl, walk, run. So for us, so all of the job changes, we add them into sequences, but those contacts also go into our LinkedIn audience. And we would have like an air cover ad that kind of thing, like, congrats on your new role. Hi, remember us? A very soft air cover. So that's the content that we push there. In the sequence, the first email, we always say, like, do not ask for a sales meeting. I think I'm a very broken record at this point, but I see that in my inbox sometimes, and I don't think that's the right way to do it. Add value. So for example, send them, we have a checklist or a cheat sheet of like first 90 days as a CMO, first 90 days as a VP of sales, something like that, offering some helpful resources. And just don't ask for anything. Circle back in 2 weeks or 4 weeks. They're checking in, hope you get a lay of the land. If you think now's a good time to pick things up, I'm here, et cetera. That's when you have earned your right to ask for a meeting. But the first step, just trying to be helpful.
And again, what I really love about the checklist you guys have built is it's audience plus trigger specific. So yes, some people may say, I don't have anything to do with an onboarding process or like even anything to do with their first 90 days in the role. And the goal isn't necessarily to push your product in the first email. It's to be helpful and valuable and showcase that you're there to support them in their new role. because it's audience plus trigger. And it's something that I've actually started to help other clients build out, or just like the 90-day checklist or the 90-day roadmap or those items, because when you map up the audience plus the trigger, then you have content. Like, that's good ABM and mm-hmm. having a content-led program. So I stole that idea from User Gems, huge fan of it. And I think it really just makes it to where you're truly showcasing to your accounts, we value your success mm-hmm. and we're here to be supportive and helpful for you. So
yeah,
I love that.
And just some tip for folks listening, like maybe you don't have this asset built by your team already. There are so many on the internet. Google search, did a little bit of digging, right? And these kind of checklists and tips change year in and year out anyway. Don't worry whether it's outdated or not. You're just trying to be helpful. I don't know what I don't know. If there's mm-hmm. a checklist somewhere, it helps me do my job better. And I would be thankful for whoever that's helping me and empathize with the situation I'm in right now as a new person in the company. Google search, you find a bunch of materials out there that you can say, hey, I saw this that I think you might find helpful.
I remember seeing a post from Will Aiken around the engagement rates on third-party resources are generally higher. Now, granted, it's harder for you to track, but if the goal is perfect attribution and tracking, like you're probably thinking about the wrong goal versus how do we continue to build advocacy within an organization and mm-hmm. using an existing champion that already knows what we offer mm-hmm. to build that advocacy before it's ever been a sales conversation. Mm. So what you just did by offering that idea is dramatically cut down the time to getting something in market. Because now you really just need to find the asset, write a couple mm-hmm. of emails around the sequence, and then mm-hmm. you can launch. So I love calling that out.
Yeah. And you will track. It's funny, like how humans work. People will likely give you more responses or engage with your content when you don't ask for it. People are weird. So like for a lot of our ads where we intentionally don't want people to click on the ads, we just want the air cover. Those are the ads that have the highest engagement rate, like people liking, commenting, adding other people to check it out. It's really interesting. So same thing applies here. When you're just sending them materials, they don't care about tracking or getting them to respond. They will reply and say, thank you for this or something like that, right? Like, go back with me in 30 days. So that's why we're not so concerned about tracking and attribution. You're going to see that response rate, open rate, everything's going to go up. And we've been running this play for 4 years. It's always over 20% response rate. And like when if we want to talk about like the pipeline contribution and revenue, it's even crazier. So, it works. Deposit first and then you can withdraw.
I love it. So again, we've talked a lot about from a distribution perspective, the automation around outbound sequencing. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that it's actually a really easy lift for your ADR team to just follow the tasks. And you've also talked through the automation of the LinkedIn ads channel mm-hmm. for air cover. Mm-hmm. Are there any other distribution channels you guys are using around a champion tracking trigger?
I think those are if we talk about distribution channel, I think those are the two main ones. But for us, we've been running ABM since day one. It makes sense for us back in the day to be very targeted, and we were bootstrapped, so we couldn't really do the big air cover. So we've been having the ABM, or we call internally ABX, running for years. And for the last few quarters, we've been using this champion tracking as a signal to prioritize which account to target when. And I mean, right before we start recording, I just look at my reporting right now. Since we started doing this, like using this as a signal to prioritize, our conversion rate has been increasing by 25% comparing to the past where we just kept this ICP list of 10,000 accounts and then applying some filters and just graph randomly. Now we're more intentional of like why we're going after these accounts. Our ADRs know why, and they also know who within those accounts they can reach out to because these are previous champions, right? So it's very easy to reach out. So the conversion rate already went up. So we're really happy with this approach right now.
That's amazing. I think we talked about this on a past podcast episode of our 4D framework for scrappy ABM programs of data, distribution, destination, and direction. When we think about the data piece, the three questions are who are we going after, what is our trigger, and how do we message those people? So by clearly taking the ICP and adding in the champion tracking trigger, you can then way more effectively message those people. Mm-hmm. And you just call that out of your sales team loves it because they have a clear reason to reach out. And most of the time when marketing and sales are working together, marketing just pass over a list and said, like, reach out to these people. And there's no clear reason. So Trini, you're just outlining essentially the thought process around like how you should build ABM appropriately. So I love it. What I want to dig into as we build out a program like this are any unexpected roadblocks. So again, from a high level, we've got a clear trigger. We've got clear distribution channels. It sounds like we've got really solid content that we're pointing towards, whether that be some past case studies. Again, admittedly, it sounds like you're also just pointing to resources and assets that are beneficial for them in their first 90 days. And then also some of these templates. So we've got all that. And we also, just based on how you guys have operationally set it up, we know clear tracking around engagement from your existing CRM and overall how you're triggering it. But I'm curious again, what are the roadblocks you guys experience as you're trying to get this program off the ground?
I think for someone that's considering doing this program, I'd say start small. How with ABM to crawl first before you start thinking about running. So think about like one use case. So like, for example, I just want to track previous customers. Don't worry about the close loss prospects yet, right? So that's the input, like who you want to track. Pick one output, so they joining ICP accounts. Don't worry about if they join a customer account or an open up yet. That's later. So start small, stand up the program for that one team that's going to benefit with one input. It usually will take you probably 3 weeks to have the whole thing set up because it's so streamlined. And then I would give another 2 to 3 weeks for you to start seeing responses coming in. And that gives you enough ammunition and like social proof internally to start layering in another input or another output scenarios, like benefiting CSM or benefiting AM or benefit AE. A lot of times we've seen with especially larger organizations that getting really excited about this play because the impact can be really huge to your pipeline and revenue that they want to implement immediately entire organization wide. That's tricky unless you have enough resources behind it. It's really hard to herd cats and implement, like impacting the entire revenue, like pre-sales and post-sales immediately. So that's the number one thing I would say.
Yeah, so we essentially start a pilot program that's just like really specific, really targeted, prove out the model, and then replicate that across other potential triggers.
And it doesn't have to be like a small quantity, right? Like you can just use like scenario. I think like start small with scenarios so you can get the right folks in the room, but not too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. And then as far as results, we've already started to talk through the conversion rates for user gems have gone up by 25%. But what are the pipeline and revenue results that you guys have been able to see through this program?
For the just the champion tracking signal alone. So I've been tracking this forever because that's what we do. And that's part of my like reporting to the board when they're like, where's your pipeline come from? So there's inbound, outbound. So we have a separate line item for champion tracking. And the last 2 years, doesn't matter if the interest rate goes up or down, the market went haywire or excited. The percentage to the pipeline has always been between 12% to 16% of sales accepted pipeline. And last year it was 23% of our closed won revenue. So if you think about like 16% pipe, but 23% revenue. So the conversion rate is higher than just the average lead. Yeah, so that's like the most stable conversion. And it had the most consistent conversion rate throughout, which is wild because you've seen inbound goes up and down, outbound go up and down, all that stuff. So this one is like my lifeboat whenever I report out.
I just love the predictability because you know that, yes, we may have other programs that kind of ebb and flow, but if you can count on roughly a fourth of your revenue, a fourth.
Yeah.
Every single year coming from a consistent source, that gives you a really solid foundation to go build and experiment in other places. And I just think it's a huge opportunity for organizations that have the, for lack of a word, like the life that has, Scrappy ABM has only existed since July. So we don't have enough customers to do champion tracking at the moment in like a scalable way. But if you have a database that has some life to it, you've been around for a while, like the opportunity around champion tracking, I think is one of the most underutilized tools and signals that an organization could implement. So I was very pumped to get this episode recorded. Final question for you, just around ABM. Is there anything else you'd like to share with people about how to get started?
Be scrappy. I'm serious. When we started out, this is like 4.5 years ago, we picked 10 accounts that we knew like they would be perfect fit. So that's how we started the ABM back in the day, like 10 accounts, match all the ICPs. We have a conviction that they would be great customers. And then we scale to 30, 40, and 50 accounts. But like very slowly, we want to start small so that we can personalize and customize to our heart's content, like white glove service, all these accounts, just to see how far we can get it and what works and what didn't work, and then iterate. So it starts small, gives us that ability to tweak really quickly. And now we've been targeting 200 accounts every single month, one-to-one. So it's our journey for ABM is crazy. But if anyone start out, start small, because then you can gain. Like when you start out with 30 accounts, I remember our conversion rate was when we targeted 30 accounts, we would have 45 to 50% hand raisers out of that. Because we went crazy with personalization because the number of accounts is so small.
Yeah.
But that gave us a lot of proof, like winning to get the sales team be like, this worked. So let's scale this out.
Yeah. Mm. Again, when you start small, you just have such faster feedback loops and you're way closer to the data. And again, especially early on, you may not have the appropriate data capture and tracking mechanisms in place to truly actually analyze a full-scale ABM program. So by just starting small, you can just be way closer. And some people hate what I'm about to say, but it's just the truth of getting started with ABM. Sometimes it's just like you can feel that it's working. And as you feel that it's working, then you can invest operationally to truly build out all the appropriate tracking capabilities and reporting mechanisms. So anyway, yeah, fully agree on just the start small, prove out a model, scale it up from there. Trinity, thank you so much for joining me today. If people want to find out more about you or UserGems, where would you point them?
I'm always on LinkedIn, so you can find me at Trinity Nguyen, and UserGems is just usergems.com.
I love it. And seriously, people, if you are not even a UserGems customer, what I really appreciate about you guys is that you've made your playbooks all publicly accessible. So just go to usergems.com/playbooks if you want to steal their content templates to start trying out a champion tracking program. This has been Scrappy ABM. We hope you all enjoyed. Thanks. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.